Alright, so let's start by declaring the glory of the Lord. Again, this morning, let's open to the book of Nahum chapter 1. We'll read from verse 2 to verse 15. Nahum chapter 1. Let us read from verse 2 to verse 15. Please read this both to yourself and to the air around you. It's important all the time. Bible says, magnify the Lord. Alright? You can't make him bigger, but you can make your vision of him, your view of him bigger. He says, I'm God and there is none else. Why? Other things are always trying to pretend like they are. So you should remind yourself of who's God. Is that okay? Are you ready? All right, we are reading from verse 2 and we are reading all the way to verse 15. Now read like you are blessed. 1, 2, let's go. A jealous and avenging God is the Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In whirlwind and storm is his way, and clouds are the dust beneath his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither, the blossoms of Lebanon wither. Mountains quake because of him, and the hills dissolve. Indeed, the earth is upheaved by his presence, the world and all the inhabitants in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the burning of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken up by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make a formidable end of his sight, and will pursue his enemies into darkness. Whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it. Distress will not rise up twice. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
If you believe that, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right. I said initially that we'll read to verse 15, but let us stop there. Hallelujah. This morning we have come to receive insight again. We have come to receive understanding. And the Lord has granted that to us. As we open our hearts to him this morning, he will fill it with the knowledge of himself. He will give us insight. He will give us direction. He will teach us to know the things that are valuable in life. Yeah, that's what we're going to look at. The things that are valuable. He will help us to understand them. For that reason, we declare as follows. He has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Once again, good morning. You know, for some time, this is the third time, of course, the Lord. We're not doing series. I've just taken one thing at each thing a day as the Lord gives me inspiration concerning what to say. So today we are going to look at something from the book of, we'll take our initial text from the book of Philippians chapter 1, and I think we also read Hebrews chapter 12. So let's start from Hebrews chapter 12. Then we'll now go to Philippians chapter 1. Here, let's take that order. Hebrews chapter 12 is where we'll start from today. And let me see the verse we'll start from. Alright, just to get a lengthy, beautiful reading this morning, we're going to end in verse 17. Let me take from verse 7. He said, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Now these earthly fathers, he said in verse 10, they disciplined us for a short time as seemed good, best to them. But he, that is our Heavenly Father, disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but rather to seem sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Verse 14 says, pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Now, this is one of the first things I learned as a young boy learning the scriptures. You know, SU days, secondary school. Then deeper life days, my first year in university. Verse 15 now, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. See to it that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, having sold it, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. You know, went to his father and he cried for the blessing. But God said, sorry, had been sold to somebody who valued it more than you. Notice that. It was sold to somebody who valued it more than him. And that's what I'm talking about today. That sense of what? Value. 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 I said we'll read another one. Let's quickly read it, then I'll start teaching. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Paul had to pray for the people. Now, I'll read from verse 3, but I won't read the whole thing. I will just jump. I just like to get some context, all right? And this time around, I'll start reading from New Living Translation, verse 3. So every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So, it is right that I feel this way, as I do about all of you. He said, he shared with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and all of that. In verse 8, he says, God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. Now, please, let me slow down now. Verse 9. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. If you noticed this morning when Pastor Kimuti was leading prayer, he focused on this, and when in the co-workers' prayer, all right, our brother Jonathan, when he was leading, he also focused on it. It's important we have understanding. He said, I want you to understand what really matters. That's verse 10. I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. Now, let me read that from my usual translation, New American Standard. It said, I pray that your love, may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Hallelujah. I was talking about value. Value. Please, let me go over something I've said again and again. If you press a key on a computer, all right? Now, I have different, of course, if you use a computer, you know this. You have different programs running. There's a particular program we run, Audacity. If you press the space bar, the media starts playing, the audio. Starts playing. That's what the space bar does. If I move to Word, I press the space bar. You know what it does? It gives me a space. If I go to another one, WavePad, I press the space bar. This starts playing on one point. That's also an audio editing software. Just starts moving on one spot, as if it starts playing half a second repeatedly. The space bar is not the problem. It's what the program was designed to do in response to the space bar. Life is like that too. It's not what is going on around you that's determining how you are behaving. It's how you were programmed to respond to those things. That's why I wrote the book, Someone is Controlling You. Everybody can have problems in life. You know, my wife and I were joking this morning about something. I won't tell you what exactly. I said, it has to do with how we use water. Okay? All right? I said, this wisdom can only come to somebody who lives in Enugu. That if you live in Benin and Asaba, you can never have this wisdom because water is so abundant. But in Enugu, where you have to pay for water during dry season, let's pray that what's going on right now will succeed as the public water. Okay? I said, there are some technologies that God gave us that reduce water consumption. I was just talking about this morning. I said, now, wow. It's just where we are living that has triggered this kind of wisdom. I hope you're getting my point. See, things happen in life. How you respond to it is determined by how you have been programmed. Now, let me say another thing to you. You are born no program. You have some default hardware settings. Like only human beings can talk. There's no other living being on this earth that speaks. All right? Language is unique to human beings. God gave that to us. So you may not know how to speak, but you know how you have the potential to learn to speak. And you know the funny thing, just a small aside. I discovered, raising my children, that children, people learn to speak what you never told them. You'll be amazed. They program and create words that they've never heard and they are correct. There's a joke I crack about it, which really happened in the house. That's what, the day I realized this thing. My little boy was, I think he was still learning how to scribble. A, B, C, D. So one day he came. He said, Daddy, Daddy, see what I write. And I was trying to teach him grammar. So I said, it is what I said, see what I wrote. So he said, what I wrote. I said, okay, say, Daddy, see what I wrote. He said, Daddy, see what I wrote. I said, okay. The guy went back inside and continued scribbling. Then he came back and said, Daddy, I finished writing this one. He said, that's the big guy standing behind the camera now. He said, I finished writing this one. That's when I learned that this, the young boy, he had learned write and writing. So when I told him it is wrote, the guy took writing and changed it to writing. So I finished writing this one. Now that's the potential in human beings. We can learn to speak. I hope you're getting my point. So the potential is just there. But then you grow up now, you start programming yourself in what to say. So first you are born with a hardware, with this firmware. All right? If you know some computer things, you get my point. But then life starts programming you. First, your parents start programming you. They tell you when to talk, when not to talk, what to touch, what not to touch. All right? Then life programs you. There are things you touch that will give you a small jolt. You don't touch them again. Okay? But then as you grow older, listen to this. Where your responsibility now comes in is how you program yourself. What you expose yourself to. That's why I wrote the book, Someone is Controlling You. It's the value system. That's one of them. I just wanted to drop that one in now. There are the things inside you that have been written as programs that now determine how you respond to situations. It can get to a point that you've been programmed that if you are slapped in public, you walk away. And you never cross your mind to retaliate. I hope you're getting my point. So one day, somebody just gives you a slap. One guy, you just get into a small argument. Then somebody gives you a slap. And your response is, you just turn and walk. Somebody says, oh, you are very patient. Yes, that is true. But that patience was programmed into you. Some have been programmed. That if they give you a slap, you return double. I have a friend like that. He was programmed that don't take nonsense. But you know, if you've ever seen mafia movies, a mafia man is taught never to answer you. You slap him like that. He will straighten his suit. Say, no, sorry. Don't worry about it. He's going to kill you. Yeah. He's going to kill you. For that slap, the guy is going to cut off your hand. But you know, he's been trained never to show his anger. He can't, especially when you don't know who he is. He just rushes his suit and tells you, I'm so sorry. So sorry about that. Hey, and then he drives his car and goes away. Then you wake up at night. His boys will drag you out and beat you, break that hand. He's trained like that. He's trained to calm down his anger and use it later. Now, this is just to tell us that we are a result of our programming. So how you behave when you're young, your parents, their environment, they program you. But as you grow older, where God starts holding you responsible is the kind of program you expose yourself to. How you react is not the problem. It's what did you expose yourself to in programming? Now, this story, I don't know, it just came back to my mind. I remembered it yesterday and I laughed. But I don't know how to apply to this. But let me tell you the story. It's an interesting story. Maybe I just feel like telling it. When I was young, in our, somewhere, well, yeah, a bit far from our house, but not too far. Somewhere in our, let's say, layout, like where I live in a layout, but not exactly our street. Occasionally, there's this man that we know, senior to my parents, okay? So his children were much older than us. But occasionally, my father would go to their house to go and settle issues. Then he would come back home and come and tell my mother what happened. And then we'll be listening. Of course, we're children, but we heard everything. And they said, this bros, he will beat his father. So somebody will call the police. Police will grab this guy and go and lock him up. And that's how my father used to get involved. My father will now go there to talk to the young man, talk to his father, and all of those things. So in our house, they would discuss that the guy used to smoke. What I used to hear was I used to smoke bush. Because the word in Yoruba for Indian hemp is the same word for bush. So when they said that, the boy, they smoke bush. So, you know, as a little boy, I will see that, how does a man gather bush and start smoking it? Because I was just able to smoke cigarettes. I remember things very well. I was very small, really small. So I just used to wonder that he smoked bush. Bush. I didn't know there's a particular weed that's called Igbo. Do you get my point? Which you all know now, of course, now. So there's a boy who said he used to smoke Igbo. So that's he and his father used to have issues. The guy used to smoke. So when he has smoked, his head is not correct. He caused trouble in the house. Many times his father had to drag him to the police. Was the only one that could handle him. And he was a young guy. We were children. He probably would have been a teenager. So see, when you have children that don't smoke Igbo, you should give an offering. Just go and give God an offering. Do you follow my point? Just find somewhere to go and say thank you. Now, why am I telling you this story? You see, his mother was a teacher. I knew the mom. I knew the father. The father was significantly older than the mother. Then when I was a teenager, we were not living in that area anymore, but it's still the same town. When I was a teenager, one day, in our estate where we're now living, took my wife there one of those days. Of course, by the time we married, we're not living there anymore, okay? But we drove around town, showed my wife everywhere. In that estate one day, it's a big, well, I had about maybe like 10 houses, all right? No block of flats and all of that. So you drive in one way, down, you exit the compound and turn on that gate. So that day, I remember this car came in. And one of the people in the compound then living there was a Ghanaian. The number of Ghanaians we had that lived it. At the time that Nigerians had a lot of Ghanaians working. This guy was a teacher. So I saw him. A car came. He approached the car. I recognized the woman, that guy's mother. Somebody has sent her to see that Ghanaian man. So again, I was in front of the house. My mom was there. So the Ghanaian man finished talking to the woman in her car and came up to our house instead of going to his own house to come and tell my mother what happened. Again, I was there listening. I told my mother, do I know what just happened? My mother said, what? That woman, listen to this, came to approach him to come and stay outside during the next GCE exams to write the exam for one of his kids, our kids. He was going to get paid. Of course, the guy was very good. He was to teach mathematics. So he told my mother that's the offer he just got, and he declined. That's why he was telling us openly. Except that I wrote that same exam, and she was one of my invigilators. And she was giving out scripts. I told one guy near me, she gave an exam, there's a question booklet. The guy pushed it into his locker and closed it. And she gave him another one, and I saw it. I don't know how they smuggled it out and smuggled the answer script back inside. But I still remember the invigilator, the chief examiner, going around and saying, please, there is a question paper missing. Check your paper. Were you giving to? I was a small boy, teenager. I didn't know how to tell him, sir, your co-invigilator stole it. I didn't speak up. I didn't know how to speak up. I would have spoken up if I had a private message, sir, please. But in the exam hall, I remember till today. Now, what I'm telling you is 1984. How many years? To be 40 years this year. I remember it clearly like it was yesterday. 84. November, December, GC, 84. To be 40 years, end of this year, in about 6 months. Now, when I became older, I connected it. I said, that's why that boy smoked Igbo. That was his mother. Why won't you smoke Igbo? If that's your mother, you will smoke. This man was working hard. He was a school principal. Yeah. Was working hard to train his kids. The mother was ruining their lives. She was going around hiring teachers to come and stand behind and write exam for them. As an evangelator, she was a cook. Then I didn't understand. It was when I became older, I connected. I said, oh, that's why Igbo used to smoke bush. You have that kind of mother, you will smoke something. Now, like I said, the story came back to me yesterday. I just remembered it as I was speaking, and I couldn't resist sharing it. Maybe to help somebody. You can't be... Look, if you don't want your children to smoke, just watch your behavior. Look, the first key to having well-behaved children is you have to be behaved yourself, well-behaved. If I smoke cigarettes, my children have a right to take it to another level. Yes, no. No, go and check your Bible. David humanized. Solomon took it to another level. He took it to another level. I remember that story. Yesterday, somebody just made me remember it. I said, now wow. Meanwhile, I used to get I'm serious. Fight in the house. The boy was not normal. We beat his own father. You know, beat. Why? His mother was dishonest. So that spirit entered into... Look. See, let me tell you. You know, we talked about it then. Is it on Tuesdays? Yes. School of Prayer. The way of self-sanctification. He said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Please. You know, I hear parents all the time. We're talking about values. Why are you relocating from Nigeria? Now, please. This is not an attack on relocation. Because I seem to have a reputation that I do that. Okay? But that's not what it is. It's how people value things as my issue. They say, it's because of my children. I want to give them a better life. You dishonest soul, want to use geography to give children a better life? Are you okay? If you want to give your children a better life, start with your own moral life. I keep on telling parents, ask yourself, what kind of spirit am I injecting into the house? Let me tell you one of the spirits you must never inject into your house. The critical spirit. If you want to whine and complain, close your door. Don't let your children hear it. Especially against one of the parents. That is, mommy, you want to whine about daddy. Not in the hearing of the children. Please. You want to curse the nation, send the children to go and play ball. Then you and your wife abuse yourselves there. I mean, like, you want to curse the country. Don't inject a critical spirit into them. There are people, I have guys who I hear talk, I just feel like, I hope your children don't hear these things. They will never have good friends in life. People won't like them. Have you noticed? There are friends you have, they are number one, they are critics. They will find something wrong with everything you do. So if you ever want to do anything, they're not the ones to start with, discussing with. After a while, if you are talking and they show up, you change the subject. Because they will tell you how stupid your plan is. Now, it will not appear as if you don't like to be criticized, but that's not the point. You've identified that this guy, yeah, is a fault finder. Yeah, that's what the Bible calls them. It's a fault finder. Everything is fault. And parents, you know where it starts from? Anytime you're always criticizing authority, you sit down in your house, abuse the governor Monday till night, and your children are there. You see all this story I've been telling you now. You know that nobody was talking to me. You know this is the story I told you? They were not talking to me. In none of them was I being spoken to. I picture is kind of in my head. My father rushing out and then returning, then giving my mother a lowdown of what happened. And I realized, in fact, the guy's name is in my tongue. I've not forgotten his name today. Now, this story I'm telling you is even much earlier than the one I told you of the exam. This one I'm telling you, if I was too old, I would have been 7. And I remember till today.
And my father will come, tell my mother what happened. That, the problem with that bros is that, now, you don't call him bros. I was a young guy compared to my parents. He was a teenager. That he smokes igbo. That the point I'm making, that you realize that they were not talking to me. I just overheard. And I remember till today. The day the woman came to report, the teacher came to report the woman to my mom, I just was happened to be standing there. We were just in front of the house, on the balcony. And I still remember the car driving up. I think the guy was talking with my mom. And I said, it was a teacher. So he left to go and attend to that one. And then returned. And I was just in front of the house. And I was standing there. And he just shook his head to my mother, Ma, see what happened just now. What happened? This woman is trying to hire me. For example, look, exam malpractice, not today started. So that was 1984. I remember because I wrote that exam. But nobody was talking to me. That's what I'm emphasizing. So be careful the kind of thing you inject into the way you program your children to be critical of everything. Be very, very careful. It's not good. Like I said, I don't know why I told that story, just to help parents. Be careful you don't inject negative programming into your children. A lot of children believe that in this life, cheating is normal. Now, if you want to know, in Nigeria of today, that's our major problem. It's a major problem. It may not be the main problem, but it's a big problem. Okay, let me say it like that. It's huge. It's so huge, Pastor Corey started a campaign, spiritual campaign. I made my wife co-director of the spiritual campaign to be praying against, look, if you're a school principal, you are an exam invigilator, WAEC, NECO, there are some people praying against you if you're a crook. The chairperson is Pastor Courage. The co-chairperson is my wife. He recruited her to join in destroying the die by fire things against those who are spreading and, perpetuating and perpetrating at the same time this wickedness. Because you tell children that they can't learn. You know, some examiners, again, this, by the way, we'll get to our main talk in a moment. Some examiners, they plan to buy things next exam. Like, I don't have a deep freezer. Okay, after the next WAEC exam. Yeah. Were you the one somebody was telling me? Yeah. That they do it. So you give you a GC, an external exam. A GC sends that to supervise. You've checked it. Okay. Each person that wants to cheat, you pay 10,000, 20. By the time you calculate it, you buy your deep freezer. Let me just prophesy to you. That deep freezer, by the authority of God, I'm using it in this country. Anybody like that, that deep freezer will spoil an hour after you and your family traveled for a week. And you have invested much money to stock it full of food and all of that. It won't just stop working, it starts heating up. Somebody say amen. They will return after a week. Your whole house will be full of the smell because the gas produced by the rotten food will have lifted the lid open for you and filled your house with smell. And that is the first level of punishment. The next level, I won't discuss it now. It will go to the second level if you don't repent. As for those of you that decide that is when you refurbish your car, your punishment is simple. It will knock on the highway. That is, the money from cheating, you used to refurbish your vehicle. The day it will disappoint you, it will be on the highway. The engine will knock there. And that's level one warning. See, you have not been punished yet. You are just being warned. Aha! The one that you don't like. If you are a school principal or proprietor, proprietress, whatever you are, and you sit down and watch this and supervise it happen, I hereby put your name on the list of candidates that will go to jail for exam malpractice. Your name has just entered. Because one day, God shall arise. We have asked him, and his enemies will be scattered. And one of the ways by which he will do it, all right, is that he will just go and poach some of these people. No bail, nothing, just lock you up. Government does that once in a while. Why? They just want to make an example. They just take you and put you in jail, just to make a point. And that's what will happen to, listen, so if you are a school principal, a proprietor, proprietress, and you are watching this happen or facilitating it, I've just given you a warning. Tell the children that come to your school that you have to learn. You know the truth? They can learn. They can learn. They are not stupid. Their brain works. Just put them on their toes. Tell them to learn it, and they will learn it. But when you give them the impression that you can just cheat your way through, let me tell you, there are critical levels for development. They will get to a particular point, they can't be corrected. They will be crooked all their lives. And God will say it's your fault. How do you want to have peace in retirement? When that's all you did, your years of service. Where will you get the peace in retirement from? Where? Why God is alive? You have to wait for God to die first. Something that you know will never happen. You can't have peace. Look, I've given you an example of a woman now. Who the child was smoking bush. That's an aside. Let me sit on my message. Like I told you, I don't know. I just brought up that issue up. Talking about programming. Don't program children wrong. But let's get back to the way we program ourselves. So God holds us responsible. Now, hey, another aside. Your parents may have programmed you wrongly. There's a reason why God cut off something at the age of 20. When they were going into the promised land, and they said, we can't enter. It was the big men that said we couldn't enter. Then God wanted to cut off a particular age. Who do I hold responsible? Say anybody 20 years and above. If you are below that, he assumes that you are just saying what your parents said. If you are above that, he said you have enough sense to make your own decision. So you pay for your own sins from a particular age. See that my guy that used to smoke bush. God is saying to him, oh, this was long ago. I will tolerate this and blame your mother and maybe your father too for a while. After a while, I will give you the opportunities to change. You have the opportunity. You go to church. A spirit of don't smoke will come. You have a right to grab it. I will give you the opportunity to grab it. If you reject it after that day, every smoke you smoke is your fault. Every misbehavior is now your fault. It's no longer the fault of your parents. It's not them. Because many adults, they give you excuses of where they were raised. Because I know now, but I have not given the opportunity to change it. You become a very nice religious home, you grow a very nice, straight human being. I remember one girl that was talking once. When they called you and the other lady to come and check, there was a meeting of a women's meeting. So mostly young ladies there. And they're talking about, sexuality and stuff like that and all. One girl said something, God, when my wife reported there, I wanted to cry. They're talking about, she cares, what are you people talking about? That's a little girl. I used to watch my mother bring men to the house. Yeah. And that kind of girl cannot grow up normal. His name, unless it's an intercessor so powerful, it's impossible. Such things happen. But you know that God says, that excuse is for a while. Now you have come for this meeting. That excuse will not hold after today. That's what he was telling her. That's what God was telling that young lady. No matter how you are living now, the excuse dies now. Because grace has come to change life for you. You have a responsibility to reach out and collect that grace. And after that, God, you don't know the grace of God. I turn your life around so much, you wouldn't believe that's your background. In fact, what will come out of it, you almost want to tell people, go and get a bad background so your life can be good. That's what God does. He turns things around so well, you would think that evil was necessary. Please, I hope you're getting my point. Yes. All right? So that's just an aside. So back to where we began from. I got carried away there. So it's how we've been programmed. That's why I went into that. Well, I allowed myself to go that way. That decides how we react to things. Your duty, therefore, is to reprogram your life. One of the major programs in life is a value system. One of the major program points is the value system. If you're raised in a place where the person that has money, you understand, is worshipped, you will become a criminal, whether you like it or not. That's the spirit of money. You become dishonest. You will love money. You can't help. See, let me give you an example. I grew up in a part of Nigeria where the thing that they respect the most is education. You know, you go to, I think it's Benue State, so it's every other house has a military officer. That one, every other house has a university professor. They're all poor. I remember our provost, who later became vice-chancellor of University of Lagos. When they gave us a talk, that one day the head of his village, or his hometown,
called him and said, next festival, we are giving you a chieftaincy title. He told the man, no, you can't do that. The man said, we are going to do that. He explained to the man that, Oga, Kabiyesi, I don't have money. I can't afford. The Kabiyesi is not about money. It's about you are our illustrious son. So, you get the title. Ah, the guy said, but my friends will come. So, he had to beg the Kabiyesi that can they postpone the conferment of the title to the following year. So Kabiyesi agreed, okay, this year you've escaped. We add 1 year to it. So he called his friends, please, I need money. Get me a job. By that time, he was a professor of microbiology. Oh, yes. He said, get me a job. So they found him a job in one Middle East country. So he disappeared in the University of Lagos to go and work for one single purpose, to gather enough money to build a house at home. So he finished the year, gathered the money, came back home, went, built a nice house there, and took a base. Now I'm ready. He came back home after that. He didn't go back to Saudi. The day he was going to give this lecture, I was the one that was supposed to read the citation. I had a book. I didn't know where to start with. That is, if it's publications, then he has it as long as from here to the, I think, to Oji River or so. Of course, then he, I think then he was our provost, then he became the vice chancellor of University of Lagos later, you know. I know that. But you know, the man didn't have anything. It was not a, it begged the Kabiyesi that I can't afford it. And the man insisted, we will give it to you anyway. So you can be sure all the young people there, they will want to be like him. School, that's what they'll be thinking about. Because the person honored there was honored for his education. But if you are handing the titles to only money bags, the boys will steal. If you tell, of course, you know the part of the world I'm coming from, you are rich, it doesn't really matter. If your elder is talking, you shut up. You won't get any title because you have money. Unless you just happen to have a Kabiyesi who learned something from somewhere. And money or no money, you prostrate when you enter his palace. Money or no money, when your elders come, you leave the seat. They will sit. You can be a billionaire, it's your problem. You come to that same place, they are in the Kabiyesi's palace, and the elders come, all you billionaires, you get up and go and stand. And they will give the chair to the elder that came on the motorbike. Age, they worship age. The man doesn't care how rich you are. Once he's older than you, he's Egbon. And he will let you know just to put you down. Then there's some. And shut your mouth. You see your mate here? Yeah? In fact, they even have a culture. If a young boy is insulting his elder, anybody who doesn't slap that boy is complicit. It's what you model to people. What you tell people is important. So a lot of people have this idea that money is important. It's the most important thing. And listen to what I was trying to say. No matter the church you go to, the spirit will enter you. What I mean is this. If you hold that stronghold in your heart, be a pastor, you will steal. God cannot deliver you from the spirit of, you know, stealing. Until he first delivers you from the spirit that values life based on what a man possesses. He can't. He has to show you there are things more valuable. You'll have to read the book of Proverbs and see that look. That God said, look, if a man is poor, he's better than the one that's rich and dishonest. You have to take pride in the fact that at least I don't tell lies. That has to make you happy. Otherwise, you can never be delivered from that evil spirit of stealing, of dishonesty, of being crooked. Because there's a spirit that money carries. People don't understand it. That spirit is terrible. It passes people through many hurtful lusts. You know, people, please, I need to emphasize this. As you are growing in life, reprogram yourself. The outcome of your life is a program that has been written. And of course, for us believers, how do we program ourselves? With the word of God. What you are doing now, sitting down, listening to this, is you are being programmed. You are being programmed. If you don't program, look, the other day, I sat down with my wife and Thor Reverend. We're just analyzing some things. And we concluded that a woman sold her marriage because of money. That this walked out of her husband, ruined her marriage, and it was all about money. The painful part is that it's not even a lot of money. Now, when I say a lot of money, it's a lot of money if you want to just look at it on the surface. But it's not like a billion naira. It's not like the $10 million. We just analyze things up and I say, what is going on here? It's just money. So you allow the father of your children walk away, which is where part of where I'm going. When certainly one day you will regret it, like we read about Esau, one day you will look back and you will want it back and it will be too late. And I'm wondering, why? That's why I'm talking about it. It is not as if the person just woke up one day and say, I want to sell. No. It's value system. It is what you have built in your heart that you have placed value on certain issues that decide the choices you make in life. I hope you're getting my point. And that's what I'm talking about. You know why? Because every day, I see people make some choices and I look and say, now wow. So you actually got up and threw this thing away. Then I realized, you know, like one of our brothers, we say, Oga, it's their reality. What he means, using my own words today, is what they value. They don't value what you value. I hope you're getting my point. They don't value what you value. Do you remember as a young man, it's good to be blissfully ignorant about some things. I had a good collection of tapes, you know, messages, like packs. See, packs. Let me tell you the kind of thing I used to do. I go to the market. People want to buy empty tapes, okay? I used to buy empty packs. I buy in packs of 10. So I could go at a time and buy 30. I'm not exaggerating. I'll go. Give me a box of 90-minute tapes. Oh, no, two boxes and one of 60 minutes. The gifts I gave people were tapes. You come to my place, you see stacks of messages. I'll tell you, okay, this one is Ken Hagin, this set. David Oyedepo, I'll probably give you maybe 50 of David Oyedepo or maybe 100, you know. That's how I just used to gather. When I came to Enugu, I used to go to one part. I continued that habit. Thank God for digital life. That's made it very easy. Okay? Now, this is where I'm going as a young man. Do you know, if I wanted to show you as a woman, I liked you and I was interested in you, one of the things I gave you was a right to borrow my tips because I never lent anybody. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I didn't lend anybody. You know why? They won't return it. You know, those tapes, it go call inside one recorder, one player, and that's the end of it, and caught. I guarded those things with, you want to borrow my tape? That what happened? No, I'm not giving, if you harass me too much, I'll make a copy and give it to you. Go. When I had to invest money, any tape recorder I bought had to have two, it has to be a double player for the purpose of duplication. I don't know if you remember Sony Twincam, that you put the tapes next to each other and slide it in. I had one. So carry it everywhere. I could be traveling, I put it in the traveling bag. Because if you get there now, there may be tapes to dub. I'm not exaggerating. That's the kind of thing I did. Now, what am I telling you about it? Because I actually thought that if I gave a woman, look, I just said, look, let's say, Angelina, see, you're the only one I'm giving this to. And I give, anytime you need the tape, just ask me. I thought they would all fall for it. Honestly, do you know? I thought everybody would fall for it. I was shocked when they did not. You don't get me. I was shocked. Look, ask my wife today. The first day I came to see her, I came with one tape. People, they bring, why should I bring dress? When there are tapes. Tapes. Who has a dress ever changed their life? But you hear one message, your life is turned around. You know, I look back and I say, Father God, thank you. Because I was feeling tough, like, feeling rich. Like, Sister Angie, how are you doing? I have some tips of the prison. No, ask my wife. The first day I came to see her, it was her birthday anyway. It was her birthday. Yeah, it was her birthday. my sister, IJ, Ijoma just called me one night. I said, Banky, I said, what's going on? Because she didn't realize I was sleeping. You know, I was settings are slightly different. So I was sleeping. My friend just woke me up. Hey, you have a phone call. So I went, grabbed the phone. Hello?
Pastor Banky, who's that? It's me, IJ. Oh, IJ, how you doing? I'm fine. I just want to tell you that, since Alphoma's birthday, It's also on so-and-so date. So I was like, okay, thank you very much. And in my mind, okay, I didn't know how to respond to it. It's okay, thank you. All right, you say you heard, though, I heard. God bless you. I hung the phone. Woke up the next day. Okay. Oh, Ufama's birthday is so-and-so date. Now I calculate with you. I'm going to go to the birthday now. That's traveling. That's leave Lagos and go to Benin. It's not down. Oh, yes. So I said, okay, well, how do you go? So I went and bought a nice card. I went to buy a gift. I said, wait, the best gift. I returned to my room. And that I used to have empty packs. So I went through my collection. I can't remember the name of that message. Was David Oyedepo? What was it? Yeah, anyway, I selected one. I told her I used to have my twin cam. I put it in, dubbed it nicely, and gave it to her, so I put it all. I traveled all the way to Benin. I said, it's your birthday. I brought you a card and a tape. That was her. I finally got the tape back when we got married, about 18 months later. 18 months later, we were married. So she brought the tape back to the house, and I had two copies for a long time. Now, where I'm going is that, I thought everybody valued it. Oh, God is my witness. I remember one day I came to Benin. So my old classmates and friends were seated. So I said, do they have a tape player? They brought it. I brought one tape. I still remember the first line. David Oyedepo. A thirst is a principal requirement for anyone to draw water from a well of life. There must be a thirst. The thirst must be genuine. So I just said, everybody sit down. I put it. Everybody, listen. I thought everybody was like, wow. And they tolerated the message for a while. No, I think first of all, they said, okay, no, we'll bring it back later. I'm like, did you guys hear that first line? I traveled from Lagos, sat with a friend, and said, yeah, all of you, sit down and listen to this. It was much later, when I was older, I left the bank, your head is not correct. People buy rings, jewelry, perfumes, dresses. You go buy tape. But it worked. I mean, Apostle, Gospel of Results. Results terminates insults. Did she not marry me? 25 years later, we are still kicking. Because I sold the tape. Whatever a man sows, the Lord is good. But that was how much I value things like that. And it was really a surprise to me when I discovered not everybody did. I actually thought everybody did. Where I'm going is this. I see people every day throw away things of value. Now, see, there's some mistake a lot of us make. We think, you like this, I like this. Okay? Which, that thing is right at a particular level. What I mean is that, your favorite color is brown, his own favorite color is blue, his own favorite color is yellow. It's okay. Alright? But you cannot tell me, okay, maybe you prefer beans, and you prefer granite. Is that okay? It's okay. But you can never tell me I prefer vitamin A, he prefers vitamin B. You cannot tell me he prefers iron, I prefer manganese in food. You can't tell. There are certain things that are fundamental, has no respect for your preference. It is the reason why children prefer sweets, but parents make them eat vegetables and take fruits. They don't care what you like. Some things have real value. Do you get my point? The values are real. The value in them, all right, is real. See, we're laughing now about tape, okay? My brethren, that was the word of God. It changed lives. If you didn't value them the way I did, you had a problem, not me. Not being arrogant, but fact is that I was just more spiritually advanced than you. It just meant I had learned some things you had not learned. It's not about the way bank is. It's not about how bank is. Anybody who loves the Lord must be like that. And if you're not like that, we question your love for the Lord. Look, there are things that, okay, you like white shirts, he likes black shirts. Yeah, but we must like shirts. We must wear something. We can't go around half naked. We must be clothed. That's the point. So there are areas in which you can be doing it. I like this. You like. There's no you like. You cultivate the liking. You cultivate it. You get up and tell yourself, this is what I must love. And listen, I was quoting Charles Finney the other time.
Chasmini said, feeling follows thought. What it means that if you decide and say, this is what I will like, after a while, your body will like it. It will be reflex to you. I'll be honest with you personally, knowledge is delightsome to my soul. Yeah. Let me give an example. I like entertainment. I like comedies. Okay? If your comedy is more than a number of minutes, I will lose interest. You've heard me crack jokes. I like Chinese films and all of that. Okay? But one of the films I really like the most from time is movies I learn from. No disrespect to, but you guys should shape up. One of the reasons why I didn't used to like Nigerian movies, I used to tell my wife, I don't learn anything. That, see, I will sit down there, you take my 4 hours, and at the end of the day, I've not learned anything. I've never read an American law book. I've seen some law things inside a few novels, alright? Okay? Okay, John Grisham was a guy that made me like, I started reading John Grisham. John Grisham. But you know what? I know a lot about American jurisprudence from their movies. Most of our Nigerian movies they made, you learn nonsense. Look, one day I sat with a lawyer, I was watching a film, all right, in Lagos. And the judge said something, he said, no, judges don't say that. He said, judges don't say that, because what happened, there was a matter of a dispute, all right? So the judge ordered for DNA testing. He said, no, that judges don't ask for evidence, you present them. That is, the burden is on one of the parties. The judge will not tell you how to prosecute your case. Because the judge said, okay, what we are going to do now? He said, and also be a high court. He said, no, this is not wrong. So at that time, I realized that they were blowing it as wide as they were blowing it in medical cases. Because the medical, being a doctor, I used to see a lot of nonsense. I used to see a lot of rubbish. They'd be running up and down. Somebody would just, you know, we're doing something. Say, this does not happen now. Couldn't you guys just get a doctor to supervise this scene and tell you, no, you don't put a drip there. Injections are not given in the tip of the nose. What is wrong with you people? You know, they have been. But do you know what? I don't want to start recommending movies like I told you. The first time I knew about spy satellites, it was from watching an American movie. I don't want to tell you the name. And for me, the story around it, I saw how they hack communication systems, and later on, I found that these things were true. When you see the way, there's some, maybe, this, what is it, there's a particular SEAL team that they have, the one that killed Osama bin Laden. You watch these things in movies, and they depict them for you. If you go and see something like, there's a particular one about, a story about the guy that was kidnapped. They hijacked in Somalia, all right? That Gulf there, this American captain. So they held him hostage, and the Americans sent their guys to go and rescue him. When I watched that movie, look, I sit down, watch how those guys, their sharpshooters, took out 3 people in a small vessel, and they had to kill them simultaneously so they won't hurt the man. There were 4 inside there, 3 hijackers, and their hostage. The guy towing them had to tow them at a steady speed. While the guys following were aiming. All of them fired at the same time. Killed 3 men. I said, my God. And they'll tell you, based on his true story. Of course, the story we all know. So the problem I used to have with our guys is, it's either you are doing a ritual for money that you've done in 20 movies. No, not learning anything. Not learning anything. I learned more from the dramas of when we were young, when they used to do, you know, than these modern people. They are improving now. But that's why I couldn't watch them. It's the reason why I didn't used to watch Indian movies of I said, get away all of you. Because it didn't teach me life. Look, you see some guys do movies, especially in Hollywood, when they do some movies, you have to give the guys respect. This guy is supposed to act as a homeless person. So he goes, follows homeless people around for a whole month. For 2 months. He stays outside, stays in the car watching them. So when he's acting homeless, he's homeless. But some of our guys who just remove the agbada and be wearing agbada on the street, I'm homeless. Look at your pot belly, you're homeless. You're just looking at the guy. See, my friend, get out. Please, if you are into movie production, Solomon, please, don't act it. Don't look, Vine Nation, if I see you do a if they quote the law without you talking to a lawyer, you will have me to answer to. Before you quote anything medical, call a doctor. I said, is that how you guys do it? Well, I'm talking about me. Me, knowledge is sweet to my soul. I like learning. I harass my children. Those days, once it's 8 p.m., no games, no cartoons, nothing. If you're going to be watching TV, you must be learning. Go and watch a documentary. Watch something. I don't care whether you enjoy it or not. It doesn't matter. Sit down there and fill your head with information. Where I'm going is that, look, when it came to, so when you talk about the word of God and you like it, it's not about like. Knowledge, of course, most important knowledge is scripture. It must be pleasant to your soul. A week should not pass. You've not listened to a particular message or two. Which book are you reading currently? You have to learn to value the things that are very important in life. So we maybe have been joking about it that I used to do, listen, not learning. That's why you're listening to me today. God took me aside then and said, Banky, I don't want you to do anything. He didn't speak words, but he closed every door against me. That I had no choice that on an average day, I would listen to messages for 3 hours. And I'm talking about an average day, daily. You've heard my testimony in 8 months. I did a calculation. I did over 400, possibly more than 500 hours of Bishop David Oyedepo alone in 8 months. I'm not talking about the other minister I listened to, his own alone. I calculated. I did about 500 hours in 8 months. Sat down every day just listening. Just listening. The one day my auntie, who God arranged for me to stay with that time, I was a driver for a while. I was the only doctor in Nigeria doing driver business. It was later I looked back and said, God was so good. That way you couldn't find me. Of course, initially, it was like, if I one day we were supposed to go out, he said, hey, come and take me. I want to go somewhere. So I said, okay, auntie, let me go. You know, I was about to enter my room. So she saw me come out with a pack of tapes. I entered the room to go and dress up, and I came out with a pack of tapes in my hand. She said, this is your cassette. Don't you ever go anywhere without them? I said, auntie, this is the only reason I drive you around. I answered because I'm my relative. We can talk. I said, auntie, this is the only reason I drive you. Do I look like a driver to you? No, I tell them straight. I said, auntie, if I don't carry them, I won't carry you. So choose one. No, because you make me drive to places where I sit inside the car literally for hours. I said, okay, we're going to VI. I want to go. I'll get there. I park. He said, okay, will you come and wait in the reception? I said, no, ma, don't worry. I'll wait in the car. And I will sit in that car for the next 2 hours. While you are going to see people, discuss business, have meetings, I'm in the car. I said, no, don't worry. I always try to park where it's shaded. Oh, there's no fuel. Okay, then go and look for fuel. They are going to queue for fuel. Okay, you stay. So I follow the people. I still remember that day. Wonders of Faith, 1 and 2, David Oyedepo. I finished them while they were queuing for fuel. 2 tips. Each one of them 1 hour. More than an hour. The other people just carry Jerry Khan and go do the fuel. I just parked somewhere. In the sun. That there was no shade. The car stereo will play. When it finishes playing, I'll start the engine small. So as not to run the battery down. I do the car for like 5 minutes, quench it again. So that day, my auntie, I said, auntie, okay, let's get this straight. I'm not a professional driver. See, this driving is favoring everybody. You have a driver for free, and it's your relative. He's not going to steal your money. He's not going to steal your car. You take care of you like your elder sister that you are. Okay? And me, I get to listen to the word of God. Oh, when I told you that I did that number of hours, I was sitting at home a lot of times. I'm manning a vehicle. But the point is that, do you know? Now, it sounds funny. A lot of people will exchange that for a job. God didn't even allow me to do that. Now, why am I saying all of these things, okay? Trying to explain to us that we must learn to value the things that are important. Let's just take some things as personal preferences, okay? Like somebody just likes something. I gave this story, how God helped me. It's not by strength, okay? It's not by my own determination. It was just the grace of God that was working with me that helped me to value the word of God. And I said, till now, you know, knowledge is precious to my soul. That's how I tell the story about movies, okay? Even when it comes to movies, I want to be learning something. You can entertain me, but you see, in the process, you should give me something that will help my life. I hope you're getting my point. You should make me better informed with life, okay? It's very, very crucial to me, okay? Now, so, the most important thing I said that we must value is the word of God. But we are going beyond that and looking at other things. I was saying to you, which is why we read Esau, okay? Yeah. Why did we start with reading Esau? The Bible described Esau as an immoral
or godless person. The Bible says that Esau was immoral and he was godless. But you don't hear some of the things that we call immorality in the life of Esau. You don't hear them. Now, why? Because some things are more fundamental than other things. Listen, don't joke with, if you're young, it's a young woman, a single woman, please, I beg you in the name of the Lord. Don't hang out with a man that doesn't go to church seriously. Don't. You know, I've been saying it. I don't believe in nice guys. I don't care how nice you are. If you don't come to church, I hope you're getting my point, and sit down and hear the word of God, you are not a good enough person for me. People say, we're all children of God. I don't know where you hear that lie from. If we're all children of God, why did God give some power to become? Do you follow my point? Yes. Is everybody a child of God? Who told you that nonsense? If it was so, why did Jesus come to give those who believe in him the power to become children of God? Please, I hope you're getting my point. See, why am I talking about it? What was Esau's problem? And let me say this again. Now, I remember the story David Pawson told about once a heckler was disturbing where he went to speak. And the man was trying to explain to him. He said, listen, I don't go to church. I don't believe in God. But ask my colleagues. It was in a workplace, you know, like a factory. I was talking to the workers. Ask my colleagues. I'm as good a person as any other person. I'm the go-to person for them. I stand up for people. And David Pawson said he was praying as the man was speaking. Just trying to disturb the man of God from preaching the word of God. He said, I don't go to church. So what has your Christianity got to offer me? Then God just gave him an inspiration. Say, you don't go to church, but your grandfather did. It was just a word of knowledge. Why? He found that guy grew up with his grandfather who dragged him to church. That listen, what is happening right now is that you are living the godly life of your grandfather. And the apostle said, when godliness disappears in one generation, goodness disappears in the next. He said to him flat, you are a good man, let's watch your children. That guy was raised by his grandfather. He didn't even know. He just jumped and said, your grandfather did. And dragged you there. So this goodness we are bragging about is what God poured into you through the influence of the man that raised you. What are you going to point to your children? And you think you can just set examples for them alone? No, these things are spirits. Yeah, they are spirits. So. My wife and I were analyzing, was it this morning or yesterday? I said, hey, we're just analyzing people's behavior. I said, these things are spirits. Is which spirit has taken hold of you? That is the issue. I think it was when we were talking about the man who they sent us into prison a few days ago, about a week or two ago, in the UK. A man who emigrated to the UK with his wife just 2 years ago, 2022. Violently this year, or was it late last year, he had killed her. It's the way he killed her that was the issue. I couldn't believe her. Choked the woman till she passed out, stomped on her chest, he broke her ribs, then took the children's, skating board and bashed her head in 50 times. 50 was from the estimation of the policemen who heard the banging. Because the pathologist said he could not determine. The head was crushed. So I told my wife, this is not anger. This is spirit. This is a demonic spirit. It's a demonic spirit. In life, God. See, strategize your life that an evil spirit will not lay hold on you. That's what we are talking about. Walk in such a manner that they can't enter you. Many things that people value, back to our main issue, there are things that expose themselves to the penetration of evil spirits. And let me say something. Esau, now talking about a godless man. Esau was a nice chap. He was a good man. He was a hard worker. He was not lazy. Beware of people who don't have the fear of God as center in their lives. Beware. Don't do business with them. I'm not saying don't go to their shop and buy things. That's not what I'm talking about. But you want to put money together, don't do it. You want to do a joint, don't do it. Don't. He said Esau was a godless man. There's something about godlessness. What is it? When the fellow does not place value on the things of God. If you see anybody, young man, young woman, you're single, you see anybody who's laughing at preachers, don't ever make that person a potential wife or husband. I don't care whether he goes to church or not. Why should laughing at preachers be? Me, Look, as a young woman, you wanted me not to like you as a young woman. Let me just see your attitude towards the scriptures. Let me see your attitude towards men of God. There are a lot of crazy men of God out there.
But you should be on my side lamenting about it.
I hope you're getting my point.
We should be there discussing together. Ah, this preacher, why are they doing like this now? I should see the anger in you. Not say, oh, these pastors are fake. You say that once, you won't see me again. You see, as a single man, these are things I did. You see that one time, I just write you, oh God. The way I also write you off, you will feel erased. And I say, you're not a serious human being in life. You're not a serious human, as far as I'm concerned. What was Esau's problem? Please, let's now zoom in on it. What was Esau's problem? He didn't value the things that mattered. And every day, and that's why I'm preaching about this, I see people, you know, your value system, you know, that's where I began from, determines how you make choices. Let's talk about, now, I live in Nigeria, please, if you're listening to this from Tanzania, I'm not angry with your country, yes, I live in Nigeria. If you're listening to this from South Africa, I'm not angry with your country, I live in Nigeria, okay? So please, I will use Nigeria as a reference, okay? Now, I live in Nigeria. Now, please, this is not, I know I'm an optimist, okay? But it's God that turned me to an optimist. In fact, the Red Prince thinks you have a demonic problem if you're not an optimist. He said faith commands you to be an optimist. Yeah. And the Bible calls it hope. In the midst of calamity and things are bad, Jesus said, look up, your redemption draws near. Is that not optimism? Jesus by himself described the evil that will be going on. He said, but you, in the midst of it, straighten up, raise your shoulders, lift up your head. Your redemption draws near. So I know I'm like that. So I'm there. But you see, but let's go beyond. Let's get facts. Let's get facts. Nigeria has a lot of problems, I know. A few weeks ago, Naira was the best performing currency in the world. A few weeks after, it became the worst performing currency in the world. It's at the rate of, you know, the way the value is swinging. So it's not a big deal. So we have Naira issues. We have currency issues. We are still solving our banditry problem. It's better. It's far better now than before. I mean, if you know facts. Far better. A friend of mine was telling me the other day that he would like to move to Nigeria and all of that. We're just talking about some things. He said, well, I'd love to move to Abuja. I said, no, that's a good place. He said, no, banditry. I said, no, don't worry. It's going down. I said, let's continue to pray. It will reach zero. Yeah, you know. So, I'm just acknowledging the fact that I know there are issues. But one of my guys said something once. I was arguing. I said, Nigeria is a very free country. He laughed. You know why he laughed? He used to live somewhere in northern Nigeria. He's abroad now, the guy I'm talking about. He said he had a Cuban doctor. He's a doctor, of course, they're my classmates. He said he had a Cuban doctor in the hospital there with him. And that one used to laugh. That one is, now, this was military government. And the guy used to laugh. Is it military government or the early days of Obasanjo? No, I think it's military. We had military for a long time now. All right, until 99. We had a short break of this or that man. Shoneko. Uh-huh. Okay. So yeah, I think it's around that period. And yes, it's true. It's military. Because there is this why. Because all them Ghani fire, they were there making noise all the time. Natasha, they're always fighting Babangida. And then even Abacha had his own people fighting him every day and he left them alone. It's not everybody answered though. So the guy said something. He said the Cuban guy told him that. He looks at Nigeria, he laughs. That the way you guys talk about your government, he said, you don't try that in Cuba. He said, you will disappear. The guy just print newspaper. And you hear that this man says this policy is nonsense. Government is not serious. Military government. And Abanda just opened the paper and continued what he's doing as if he didn't notice you. Say the Cuban man told him that you don't try this in Cuba. You will disappear. Just simple government criticism. If you go to a place like Saudi Arabia and Dubai, UAE, a Nigerian woman went to Dubai and just complained how they wasted her time in the hotel. They put her in jail. She complained on Facebook how the hotel didn't treat her nice. They put her in prison. Do you know how much you abuse governors in Nigeria? Do I even need to tell you? Just wake up in the morning and the guy knows your house. He doesn't answer you. Let's not talk. Bola Tinubu actually is actually enjoying. Buhari is the one that suffered. People don't, they don't even talk about him. Because I read newspapers. The people hardly have his time. I don't know, maybe they are still hoping. But, Baba, Buhari, I want, they just wake up in the morning, abuse him, abuse that is, and, you know, their attitude is, leave them alone. And people don't value that. Let's leave that one.
Starting a business in Nigeria is the easiest thing in the world. People don't believe it, but it is. Go to New York and go and cook and sell. Without a city permit. Food. You need permit to walk across the road. You need a permit to park your car. Open the door and sell. We don't need it. My pastor used to do this in Lagos, that if you can't do business in Nigeria, you can't do business anywhere in the world. They asked Dangote, that listen, how bad, they said that look, all the challenges in Nigeria and all of that. He said the challenges are enormous. He said, but the profit is to be compared with none in the world. Aliko Dangote said it. They asked this man, Akin Bello Osage, about the challenges in Nigerian business. He said there are challenges everywhere. He said political instability. He said there's technological instability elsewhere. He said there is nowhere that there are no challenges. Now, these are men. You see, after small, small boys who have not done anything, they're the ones that talk the most. Men who have done stuff, they react differently. Akin Bello Osage is the one that said that the worst business decision of his life was to pull out of bidding for GSM license. One of Obasanjo was issuing licenses those days. Shortly after he came in 1999. That the worst mistake of his life was to pull out at $200 million for a license that was eventually issued at $270 or $280, something around that. Less than $300. Forget the exact figure. And I used to quote it a lot. But under $300. He said it was the worst business decision of my life. He said this about 5 years ago. It was said in America. I was giving a lecture in the university. He said, now we know, then he was speaking, that the true value of that license was something around $800 million. That he pulled out at $200 million. He said it was the worst decision he ever took in business in his life. So because the real value was almost four times that. But some people stood their ground. Pascal Dozier, when they asked him, he said, because Akim said that nobody's going to make profit in a very long time. If you pay $200 million for the license. Pascal Dozier said it's not about money. It's about having Nigeria on the same level as other countries for goodness sake. Why shouldn't we have a GSM network? He was the chairman of MTN Nigeria. The best decision of his own life. Now, I'm just turning that thing upside down. You can sit down and complain. That's what I'm saying. All right? But then, where you are going, who told you there are no challenges? Please, you get where I'm going. There are challenges everywhere, but look at how men have handled it. In the midst of trouble, some will see opportunities. Now, when people don't value certain things, that's where I'm going on. I notice how they will take opportunities and throw it away. Please, there's something I say to my wife all the time. Now, please, remember what I said about people throwing away opportunities, but I'm about to go on a tangent now so that I don't miss my way. There's something that happens to me in my house a lot. I've told you the story. I may not remember that I left my phone somewhere. And I don't know what about you. It's happened to you before. You know, you go to the bathroom. You have your phone in your hand. So maybe you want to brush your teeth or something. You just drop it somewhere. Okay, you know, you don't think about it. Yeah. Then you want to have your bath. Then you remove your singlet. You didn't know you put your phone inside a dirty clothes basket. And then you put your singlet on top of it, and you are never going to look for it there because you're not even thinking about the fact that you brought it there. And you're about to leave the house. And I say, oh, I forgot my phone. And hey, from Bible study yesterday, it was still on flight mode or vibrate, silent, which means nobody can call it for you. That kind of phone, if you don't pray and fast, you won't find it. Yeah, I get into those situations once in a while. But you know what I discovered a lot of times? Sometimes what just happens is that maybe my wife left some clothes there. She wanted to wash. And I just tell her, I said, these have been here for like 2 days. This woman has not had time. Well, I have time this morning. Let me just help her wash them. As I pick it, my phone slips out. It slips out. And I say, wait. I would never have found this phone. So God just said to me, love your wife as Christ loved the church. In executing love your wife, I found my phone. Sometimes my car keys. Now, this is one that I tell my wife a lot of times when we're discussing. I said, I found out that God delivers us by teaching us basic right to do. You know, I've said it many times. That number one way to know the will of God is do the right thing. Is do the right thing. Sometimes people will tell you that, and I've had testimonies like that. Even me, probably I have personal experience. It has happened to me before. Okay? I don't want to tell too many stories now, but just give an illustration. Somebody say, that day, as I was about to park here, I heard in my spirit, no, no, no. So I said, Lord, why shouldn't I park here? And my spirit said, no, no, no. So I took my car and I went and parked elsewhere. Brethren, do you know within 5 minutes, a trailer lost his brakes, the driver lost control, and rammed into that portion, and there was another car parked nearby. The car was severely damaged. Praise the Lord for me, oh, hallelujah. Is that testimony right? No, no, there's no catch. Is it a good testimony? Let me tell you something about me. I usually don't like such testimonies. Even though I know they are true and they are genuine. Do you know why? The emphasis was too much on, I heard a voice that says, no, no, no. I said, a lot of brethren are not going, we are developing a lot of mental people now. Yeah, because of that. Because let me tell you, number one way by which God saves your life, you just get there, you see, no parking. You just see, no parking. Because the person that designed the road has noticed that there is a curve there that may be dangerous. So he puts a sign, no parking. And then you drive off in obedience to no parking. Then you park. God will now open the door for you. You park in a good place. And then a trailer can crush somebody. And you come and testify. Brethren, that morning, I just saw the sign, no parking. And I remember that we said if we are going to have order in this society, it will start with us. So I obeyed the rule. Even though there was nobody to climb my tires at that time of the day. That's the kind of testimony I like. Why? Because most times in life, that's how God saves your life. Most times God is saving you, just tells you what is right to do. Please listen to this. What's her name? Mama from Moab. Ruth. Ruth did not know the destiny that laid in front of her. She just looked, listen to this, with pity on Naomi. Ruth just looked with pity on Naomi. All the story that you are hearing is Ruth just looked with pity on Naomi. That's why, oh God, it's almost as my pet project. I don't like this Pentecostal emphasis on fake spirituality. That day I was about to go out, then I began to hear my spirit. When you start that, I've told you, don't do it around me. I don't like it. A woman the other day, she was talking that day. I used it to preach here. I told my wife, look at this nonsense. And they were folding it up and down. I said, you people don't have manners. That's why this impresses you. He said, it's good to listen to the Holy Spirit in your marriage. Listen to the Holy Spirit. You know the Holy Spirit. One day, we're supposed to have dinner, my husband and I. And then he has his habit, you know, sometimes he comes late. He will disappoint. You know, you're just talking. And he has a fat, is that fat Bible that even annoyed me? Put a fat Bible there. So the Holy Spirit now said, so I was really very angry. I was about to say, the Holy Spirit just said, do you know how his day went? Why don't you just ask him how his day went? And then the Holy Spirit now said, and then the woman, he said, do you know that day, sisters, as he opened the door, I just said, oh, honey, how was your day? And I realized that he went through a lot. And then you say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. I just said, he said, you know, you don't have manners. That's why the Holy Spirit had to talk to you. If your boss came late to work, do you dare shout at him? If you respected this man as much as you respected your boss, you wouldn't be asking how his day was. Holy Spirit wouldn't have to tell you to ask how his day was. You just know, say, oh, God, don't come house. In your mind, you will bury your pain, bury disappointment, and put on your good manners. And open the door and say, honey, you're welcome. How was the day? And then he will tell you, and you won't have to come and give me a rubbish testimony. Giving the Holy Spirit a job that it doesn't have to do, except that you are hard of heart. I mean, just when I said, he was flying around, I said, but stop forwarding rubbish to me. People raise without respect for their husbands. I saw a clip the other day on YouTube Shorts. A woman was talking. He said, my former husband, my ex-husband, he said, till now, I don't think, he said, he treated me better than anybody else ever did. He said, now I don't think I can love anybody else as much as I loved him and still love him. But not his ex-husband. She described how this guy worked 3 jobs. He was an immigrant from West Africa. Worked 3 jobs to make sure that she could go to school. She's an American woman. That the guy took care of me, cooked for me, did everything. He said, he used to wash my car by himself every Sunday, fill it with fuel. and give it to me. Every Sunday. He said, by the time we divorced, I didn't know how to put fuel in my car. And she laughed. He said, I threw all of that away for nothing. What did you do? He said, look, I used to take it for granted. I used to threaten. He said, but I never meant it. So one day the guy left, went back to his country and married there. She's the one telling the story herself. He said, I threw all of that away for, according to her, for nothing. He said, for nothing. He said, yeah, what happened was that the guy intervened, said that he got to your head, said, yes, you know, she had all, he said, I had a lot of degrees. Why? Because he was always working, ensuring that I was comfortable. He said, so I got a job working for the state, and then he said, I used to have meetings with the mayor, and I said, look, I just started feeling important with myself. So I looked down on him, I threatened him, and the guy, unfortunately, you know, because in America, the guy was very calm, he not do anything. When he won't do something, he do one big. He did a heavy one when he was on the React. She said that even after she found out she had married, that she still could not believe it. She said, because the guy was so nice, she thought he could never do anything bad. So I tell people that, look, where God hides your good is just behind good manners. Look, it's just making the right decisions. You see, please, don't be angry with me. Sometimes when I preach, people think that I'm not a Pentecostal at heart. I am. Listen, if prayer hook me, I groan. Just like my groan not concern you. This one with the groan for microphone. I don't see the sense in it. They come to church. Let's begin to grow. I don't understand. You want to know? You don't groan into a mic. It's not good. How can you carry a microphone? Where's the mic that came to the left? You want to pray? Let's begin to pray. To the microphone. You're a showman. Let's stop deceiving yourself. You're a showman. You're a showman. You're a showman. In a show, you did do. This Pentecostal show. You know what I'm saying? It's so that you will stop it. If you want to groan, drop the mic. Go to a corner. I bet that's not my message, just an aside. Pentecostal can be. You know, people just think that we are not normal human beings. And it's sometimes, look, I know this spirit can come, but let us know it's not every day. I mean, I do hear that Paul was preaching and he fell down under the anointing by himself. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but how many times? Let me say that for a moment. Some of these things, look, who had the heaviest anointing in the whole Bible that you know? One person, mention the name, Jesus Christ. All the anointing that Peter, James, John, all of them were sharing on the day of Pentecost, only he carried it on one day. 120 people, the Holy Spirit came on all of them, they went mad. They were speaking in other tongues, they were falling under the power. I've told you before, they were staggered, they couldn't hold themselves upright because of the power of the Holy Spirit. I wrote in my book, Receive the Holy Spirit. It's an aside, please. I'll get back to what I'm saying in a moment. But that same Holy Spirit came on Jesus Christ. It felt like a dove. He got up from the baptism. The Holy Spirit came upon him. It fell on him. It was as if a dove landed. Yet the Holy Spirit was so tangible. Now, you can disagree with this, and I won't be dogmatic about it. I don't believe the shape of the Holy Spirit was a dove. I don't believe that. I have my reasons, but like I said, you can disagree. Don't go and put me on Twitter that this man said doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit as a dove. Okay? Yes, I don't believe in the Holy Spirit, you know, flying with the wings. What's my reason? You don't really see it like that anywhere else. But it used to come like a cloud of glory. It could descend in different ways. The point is that John saw it. He saw the Holy Spirit come. What I think is I saw the cloud of glory descend and fall on Jesus. Glory with fire, with everything. And to his shock, Jesus drank it in and walked away. So he said it fell on him like a dove. That the glory that drove all the prophets in front of Samuel, Saul joined them. He fell under the power, removed his clothes. One man took it and walked away like nothing happened. And if you were doubting it was the Holy Spirit, he started raising the dead. If you were doubting the Spirit, he was opening blind eyes. The lame were walking. If you were doubting towards the Holy Spirit, you guys say, come and see. So, scattering your clothes is a sign you can't hold it. Do you get my point? It's not a sign of your spirituality. So, stop taking pride in it.
That's why I wrote the book, Receive the Holy Spirit. Remember, I said that it's not every time Holy Spirit comes that it scatters people. It enters some people. Was it not on Samuel? When everybody around him were going mad. Samuel just said I was watching them. Relax. How do we get into that issue? Listen, build up. See, the more you build yourself, the more you can handle the glory. Do you follow my point? Build yourself so you can carry the glory. Build it. So that's just an aside. Now, I was saying something that I believe in all these things. I believe in it. Why did I say so? I tell you, I pointed that to you too. Okay, yes, yeah, thank you. I don't know what I was saying. So why I'm going to all of this? So we Pentecostals, please, let's not blow up and be excited over our inadequacies and our shortcomings. Let's not make it look like glorious things. Do you follow my point? Holy Spirit came, a lot of you scattered. It's a sign that you're not ready. It doesn't show you are more anointed than the next door, that he came on them like a dove. What I'm going to call that, so I found out that a lot of us Pentecostals, we thrive so much in the unusual that we don't realize the so-called unusual should become normal with us. Until it's so normal, we don't remember that it's an issue. What do I mean by that? Please, people of God, 99 out of 100 times the Holy Spirit will lead you. There will be no testimony on the method by which he did it. It will just be that you did the right thing. The day of entertainment of angels, the Bible says you will not be aware. Why will you entertain an angel? It is simple because he's stranded. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Go and read the story. As they approached wilderness environment, they don't have hotels down the road. It's getting late. They look like serious people going somewhere. So Abraham said, hey, guys, where are you going at this time of the night? Come and stay with me. He was watching out for their welfare. Three of them. Then he discovered who they were after they had entered his tent. And he had given them food to eat. Then two of them went to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot saw them. Listen, in this life, God will just give you the opportunity to do good. Listen, when he wants to help you, he will just give you the opportunity to do good and to do what is right. Lot just saw them and said, you guys are on the street. Do you know how dangerous Sodom is? You guys don't seem to get the point. You want to sleep in the open square? Our people will butcher you before day. Come into my house, let me hide you from them. And that was how he entertained angels also. You know what a lot of my brethren Pentecostals want to do? That morning as I was passing, my spirit said, look to your right. And I turned and I saw two men. And he said, behold, they are angels. And I walked up to them and I said, Angeli, welcome. You know, the angel God wants to send to you will just be one little child, a small child, not we, or maybe like a 10-year-old, that wants to cross a busy road. And you drive past. And the Holy Spirit, you won't know it's the Holy Spirit, just say, this boy, you want to cross here? Then you quickly park your car. Do you get my point? And I say, where is your mother? Why are you crossing by yourself? All you did was that you saw, I have a 10-year-old at home. I can't let the car, and you come down, and that will be the thing that God wanted to use to bless you. Listen, when he really wants to help you, he tests you on your obedience to what he has taught you. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Please, understand what I'm saying. Because, why I went into all of that, when I was talking about Pentecostals and all of that, me, I believe in praying in tongues, I believe in groaning in the Spirit. As I told that, look, groan don't hold me before. That you will pray, you don't even know what to say again. At that time, I don't even want your microphone. I'm talking. Jesus groaned. We saw it. At the tomb of Lazarus, the Bible said, as we were heading there, he groaned in himself. And he was disturbed. Yeah, he did. He didn't grab a microphone and shout down the whole this thing. When he wanted to do those things, he went alone to a remote area. Stop show. You want to know who really wants to pray? Remove the mic, remove the camera, remove the music. This one that you cannot pray until music. You cannot pray. Some people can't pray until you give them that musical. So today we want to pray. The drummer is not around. The heaviest prayers are said alone where there's no music. So if you can't pray without music, something is wrong. You may not know now, we have told you. It's a bad habit. Go and unlearn it. I believe in all these things, but please, the way we do it sometimes,
we end up missing the point. We want to stay in the upper room, falling under the power, instead of going to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. We stay there, we forget. The number one thing God wants is, have I changed you? So he hides good behind do what is right. He told Ruth, that is, without saying anything to her, I have taught you love. I have taught you to have respect and concern for your mother-in-law. Now, two of you go and act on it. And I'm going to get there today. Let's see how God helps me. It is not who you love, it's who you love more. Everybody loves the Lord, though. Every Christian loves the Lord. But a time will come that the Lord will say, do you love me more than this? It's a question you must answer every time. If it's love, Jesus didn't have any doubt that Peter loved him. He didn't have any doubt that John loved him. There was no doubt that all those people loved him. The question was what? Do you love me more than this? And you know what I told you? I don't believe, it's not the character of Jesus, to say, do you love me more than John? So what do you think he said? Do you love me more than fish? I don't believe you're saying that. He didn't say, I love you more than them. You know how much I love you more than them. He said, you know I love you. Jesus said, look, you are here fishing. They are not telling you to wait for me. Do you love me more than the prosperity I bring? Do you love me more than the ministry I have given you? Do you love me more than the money I have given you? Do you love me more than the influence? Do you love me more than life? It's a question he asks all the time. That's the question they're asking. He knows everybody loves him. You see where I'm going in a moment. Because you see, Paul said to live is Christ. What does it mean? My life is for the service of the assignment of Christ in my life. That is what he gave me life for. Now remember what I was saying. God gives you, he hides your good behind your right. If I have good for you, I will keep it behind you making the right decision. So if the angels are supposed to bless you, I will put the angels in need when they meet you. Then I will see whether you will meet the need of somebody who you did not realize was an angel. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, the day God, you know, people talk about sow seed, you know, I've told you before, look, I go to church, I planted my seed, those seeds don't work well. Just do what is right. That's why I preach, the key to the release of power is what? The continual doing of good works. Because the seed, the work we do, of course, they are seeds in themselves, if we know how to interpret it well. But this one will get us, let me go and sow a seed, those are not seeds. Those ones are not seeds at all. They are not seeds at all. I told a story once. Went to my wife's village. The parents were doing something, you know. Either it was housewarming or, you know, one of these ceremonies anyway. And if you know my father-in-law, he's very devout Catholic, all right? It's a papa night, right? You know what they call a papa night? Yeah. Like I told you, on his best day, the bishop came personally to the place to celebrate the best day, you understand, to officiate this thing, okay? Now, there are reasons for that. Let's not go into the reasons for it. So, of course, bishop comes, priests come. I can show you pictures. Maybe we'll take photo like this. There'll be bishop and like five priests and all of them. You know they'll be well treated. And you should give honor to whom honor is due. So that day I sat, I was watching everything. And I told my wife, I said, do you know what is most important here? She said, what? I said, notice that the door is open to everybody in the village. There are security men there, because you know, local vigilantes will be there to maintain peace and order. But it's as if they have an order. You don't stop anybody from coming in. They are there at the gate too. You see armed men. See, everybody is there. But notice, I told my wife, see, everybody is coming and going. Now, this will sound funny. Literally. A lunatic walks, you know what they call lunatics? A madman on the road. He walks in, and they don't even stop him. It's not food he wants to eat. He just walks in. Hang out with somebody, say, have you eaten? No. They give him food. He sits down there and eats it, and they carry it while they go. He has not had a bath, his clothes are torn, he looks crazy. It doesn't even cross the people's mind to stop him from entering. The gate is big, so why should we stop you? I told my wife, I said, you want to talk about seed? I said, do you know what? The bishop enters, God knows how we treat bishops. Does God not know? So you think he'll come like a bishop? He won't come like a bishop. You come with the street boys in the village, just come. Just tell the security man, I never chop. That's what he wants to know. And that's Jesus telling you that.
And the man will just look and say, hey, go that side, go eat now. And they'll go there and say, where's my own food? And they give him the same plate that isn't to serve everybody else. He sees one quarter, can lose his food. And Jesus said, they fed me in that place. So I didn't wear a bishop's robe when I was coming. I didn't wear my priestly garment. Because I know if I did, I know how you do now. So every little thing is teaching us, people of God, obey them every time. Obey them every time. Please, I'm sorry I'm going back to it. Stop waiting for your spirit to talk to you. Let your spirit teach you the scriptures. This witchcraft you are looking for is what is not allowing you your life to be normal. If you like, don't like me, I will say what I want to say. Eh? If you have any friend, the every time is my spirit says I should do this, my Holy Spirit, leave that fellow. You will soon quarrel. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
A small aside. If you're a woman, don't use it for your husband ever. Don't. If you want him to do something, ask him to do it. My husband, will you please, Thy Highness, for us to move from this house and move to the other house on this street? I hear it is vacant. And if God blesses you, maybe we should buy it. Start waking him at midnight. Say, my husband, we need to talk. You now come with things like, I've been praying for the last few days. When you start like that, Yaj, you started your witchcraft. You know, my spirit has been disturbed in this house for some time. And then my prayer, I feel some spirits around here. And I begin to, and I say, Holy Spirit, why? Holy Spirit, why? Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit now began to tell me that, arise, tell thy husband that this is not the place I ordained for you people. And then I say, Jezebel, you are not of God. Satan is using you. You've taken leadership away from the man. You are now his prophetess. Even he said, Pastor, what if God said to me, number one, he did not. Let's face that one, get one, one clear. I hope I'm clear. What did I say? He did not. Number two, if you disagree with me that he did, fine. You cannot disagree with anything I want to say. When the Holy Spirit has told you, you know, they have a saying in Yoruba land. Let me just say how it applies. Maybe I tell my son, go and tell that man to remove his car now before I burn it. And he goes to our neighbor's house. Will he go there and say, my father said you should remove your car before he burns it?
No.
No, he will say, good afternoon, sir. Please, my father wants to go out and it's urgent. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
What I said is, whoa, tell that man to remove that car, otherwise I will burn it now. What rubbish is he just blocking somebody anyhow? So where shall I run there? Good afternoon, sir. Please, my dad needs to go out now urgent, and your car is on the way. Please, sir, can you quickly move it? He's really, really in a hurry. That's what that proverb means. Literally means that if they give you an errand worthy of a slave, you deliver it like a son. That's what it means. So you go there and talk like a son. You talk responsibly. The man who sent you is angry. I hope I get my point. In the same manner, so if God were to speak to you, that's how you do it. You won't go and say, the Spirit of God spoke by me. You're talking to your husband. Say, now we shall move from here and move to the other house. Because thus says the Lord, the house is bigger, is better, is cheaper. And God in due season is going to give you money to buy it. You are not his prophetess. Shut your mouth. What should you have done if indeed that happened? You go to him. Say, my husband, I know you love me like Christ loved the church. Your children and I have thought about it. And I know God is bringing some money our way. I would like us to move to the other street. It's very nice. It's quiet there. I know you don't like parking. Don't worry. I've talked to Uncle Jonah. He has called the other brethren. They said they will help us if we ever need help. Not on this one. It was something we were talking about that time. Because you can't go and talk to them when the man has not spoken. So that won't be an issue. So what do you say? If God really spoke to you, you will agree either today or next week or next month or next year. Because you can't be, do you get my point? Once you start saying that, I know God spoke to me, but he's not listening. Then you have missed your way. You have missed direction. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Please, I'm trying to teach Pentecostals some things. you are too spiritual for your own good. Real spirituality is not all this flying at night like witches. It's not. That's not spirituality. Real spirituality is for God to teach you a level of behavior and character that the world will turn. I said, did you say that woman, Sarah, is that man's wife? He said, yes. But why is she calling him my Lord like the rest of the servants? There must be something she knows we don't know. That's true spirituality. I hope you're getting my point. I've not yet started my message for today, and I don't want to be preaching for long again. But I hope you are learning something. Now, having said that, let me now get back to the message. So, all of this just to hide something, just to explain something, that God hides good behind right. He doesn't have to talk to you. When he wants to bring good your way, he just gives you opportunity to do right, one after the other. He will send a temptation your way, all right? And you will refuse it. Do you get my point? We see all this, we see this kit a lot of time. Maybe the MD, so the owner of a company, wants to appoint a new MD, and he tests everybody with bribes and stuff like that. Now, let me just say this. That's the right thing. That's right. That's life. God wants to promote, he tests people even with temptations. But what I just want to correct about that is I don't expect that every time you do right, the good will come out automatically. It doesn't always come out. Those stories are told to us just to let us know how spiritual things work. I hope I'm clear. Now back to what we're saying. That is why your value system is critical for your promotion by God. God will not tell you, don't sell your birthright. He won't tell you. He'll just tell you, it's your birthright. Now you will not decide whether you value it so much. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I'm not saying he will never tell you, birthrights are not meant to be sold. But he's not going to come to tell you, say, Esau. How many times did I call you? Say, 3 times, my Lord. Your brother shall approach. He shall offer to buy your birthright when you are hungry. Don't sell it to. He will never tell you that. He will just make you hear stories. You know, I told you before that this man lived side by side for a long time with their ancestors. Esau will have heard stories about the birth of Isaac. You'll have heard it from Abraham's mouth. You will have heard what Abraham said Noah told him. And at the end of the day, he will know that this birthright is a key to a critical destiny. Then once Satan will have come to him and say, who destiny help? Not the way we say it in Nigeria these days. Who has been helped by this knowledge of destiny? Have you built a house? You are talking about destiny. How much money do you have stored up? You are talking about destiny. That's what he hears. At the end of the day, God says, okay, let's now test who you agree with. And that's why he gets hungry. And his brother comes and says, will you sell your birthright for a fat bowl of chicken with fried rice and salad. And the guy will look and say, you know, man, they die here. You are talking about destiny. It's not only the living that can attain destiny. Please, that story was not in any way about the cunningness of Jacob. It was about the value of Esau. Because I don't know how hungry. It's hunger we're talking about. Let me not go there. Let's leave hunger for a moment. No, let's sit there. Let's sit there on hunger. I don't know how hungry I am. How hungry is me? A plate of food. Which food do you want to give me in the midst of hunger that I'll give you my car? Please, I don't care how you want to spin the story. I'm not giving you my car. Do you know, I'm going to write a will. My wife wants to find my dead body buried in this car. Instead of me to give you for a plate of food. And it's just a Japanese SUV. It is not even a Rolls Royce. Because I will be so offended that, which kind of human being are you? You want to buy my whole car for a meal? But do you know, if I was so hungry, I'm fainting, and you ask for my tab, I could sell it to you for a meal. Truffles? Okay, maybe you don't know how much I can afford a tab. I can send it to you for a meal. Why? It's a tab. When I recover, I go across the road, go to the mall. I price the next one, collect another one. Yeah, I can. Why? I don't think it has a lot of value. Because I will start rationalizing. What if it breaks now? Say, now let me chop. Where am I going? Why would I? Now, some of you say, yeah, Pastor, I know they say, yes, that's it, because really. But I know rich men who will sell their car for money, for food. Why? They have so much that. Basically, what I was talking about is a value system. It's a value system. That's what I'm going to say. If Esau sold that birthright, it was not about how cunning Jacob was. It's that he didn't value it. He didn't value. You know, I keep on telling you, when they say that a lecturer is sexually harassing his student, threatening. I said, that is not a temptation. Young lady, it is not a temptation. Please, rush the man, bite him on the chest, hold his skin in your teeth, bite it hard. Then let's know you sinned. Then when the visit say, what happened? Say, I beat him. See his chest. Now me bite him. What were you doing biting him? He said things I don't like to hear, and I have a mental problem. Listen, if two people in your fellowship do it, all the lecturers will mark your fellowship members. Crazy Gay Association of this campus. I'm telling you. Two of you should take it upon yourself to bite somebody in the interest of other people. So I say, what are you saying? I know what I'm saying. Where I'm going is that, you see, there are some things that if you value, you wouldn't consider it a tempting, you consider it an irritation. It's an irritation. So it's how much we value things that matter. That's the point I'm trying to make. Back to what I was saying. So you see, sometimes then, I see, no, I'm talking about Nigeria as a country. No, I didn't even finish that issue. Sometimes I see people, when they want to tell me that, you see, they are going to this country. And like I told you, my issue is not about country. I said, wait, let's value things. Where you are right now, one of our brothers tells me this. He said, people who are richer, older, I was teaching my wife about it this morning, early morning when we woke up, we're talking. He said, people who are older, richer than me, they bring their family problems to me. They bring their children's matter to me. I give them counsel. They obey the counsel. Problems are solved. He says, sir, I like it. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That God has placed me in a place where I speak into the lives of people who are bigger than me in society. He said, I'm not sacrificing it for anything. I told one of our brothers once, he told me to relocate. I said, why? He told me, what about now? I said, let me just tell you one thing. I said, God has given you a lot of prominence. He has given you opportunity to bless people. I said, I hope you know you are going to become obscure. No, I told him flat. I said, I hope you know you are signing up for obscurity. I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. Just know the cost. I said, no, just know the cost. I'm not angry with you. Just know the, so, you see, in life, when you are making choices, just ask yourself, what am I sacrificing? And I find a lot of people, and what I'm preaching today, they don't understand the sense of value for some things that are precious. They value things like the world. Sorry, if you're not manufacturing, I don't know what your problem is with power. Honestly, see, Nigeria has a power problem. Do you understand my point? I'm not saying we don't. I don't like to criticize government policy, but I wish I could talk to the current minister in charge. That will do this is different. They have my reasons. Let me not say it online now. Do you understand? Okay, so I know we do. So if you are not using it for production, what's all your complaint? You now see people live where God give them influence and power to where nobody cares if they died. I won't die today, amen. I won't die today, amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
I won't die in a long time.
Amen.
But you know, if I were to die today, all of you will feel it. Because initially, next Saturday, where's Pastor? He's unconscious. Instead of coming here to preach, you will gather to pray. And as long as I'm unconscious, his prayer, all of you will be saved. In summary, I like it like that. Did you catch what I said? I'm important enough to disrupt people's normal schedule, to pray so that I won't die. It shows I'm important in their lives. You know the truth? If you go to the university where I teach, if they hear I'm unconscious, they just change the lecturer.
Ah, did you hear? What happened? Dr. Oshino became unconscious. Oh, now what? So who's going to take cardiovascular pathology? That's the next thing. They promote a junior person, put him in my place. I would be crazy not to pay attention here. One day, one of my colleagues, you know, we're talking. I told him, I said, listen, the way you are doing, I said, bros, let me just tell you something. Eh? If you die, this life will go. And they called me one day that I was in a coma. And you know what? Life went on. God spared his life. You know, we prayed for him, a lot of visited him, and God was very, very good. But I said, well, get the point, oh boy. Where I'm going with all of these things, then, is that sometimes I see people take, because they don't understand things that really matter in life. I'm teaching what matters. That you're affecting somebody's life matters.
Yes, sir.
Why would you sell that for something where nobody cares whether you lived or died? Why? In my life, I never want to, God, I said, God, I have never just been able to be a piece of item on the statistics table. No. Like I preached that day, how to be a king. If God has given you the opportunity to be an influence in people's lives, you don't throw it away. You don't throw it away. Ah, people's value system, I don't understand. This is what people are so overwhelmed, and the Bible calls it, is it, there's one word, is it surfeited, there's one word in King James. You know, so that they can't think again with what we shall eat, what we shall drink. Some even is with prosperity. They already have it. But how will it not go away? Is what they are concerned with, how to preserve it. They don't think about what really matters in life. Let me tell you, those that have found what really matters, they are the ones that sell all they have. They give it to the poor and they start following him. Please. They have, you know, one day one of our brothers told me, please, let's talk about real values because people have to make decisions. I was talking about Nigeria. That's why I didn't forget. People talk about, hey, you know, this country. I said, as a Christian, please watch your mouth. You know, there are things you say, God will say, this boy is Esau. He's godless. I'm talking to a Christian. God will say, no, this guy is godless. What do I mean? The other day, they were talking about in one university in UK. You might have read it, that they are sending their students, Nigerian students, back. They're withdrawing their visa because they're the one that sponsored the visa because they're not paying their school fees. He says, it's not fair. They spend a lot of money. See? You may not like what I'm trying to say, what I'm about to say. Did I have any empathy for them? No. Why? As obviously, you can't afford this school. You obviously can't afford it. Why did you not go to UNILAG? Why did you not go to UNN? Why did you not go to UN? Why didn't you, if you came, why didn't you go to, I mean, like, why am I having a headache over the fact the school say you're not paying? Say it's because Naira failed. Does Naira have a responsibility to keep up because of you? One of my colleagues said, he lied, it's not because of Naira 4. He said, banks do something. I never heard of it before. That they issue you letters of proof of funds. That they credit your account with arbitrary figures. Charge taxes, charge interest on it, but you can't withdraw the money because the money is not there. And I say, and the embassies know. That the children are just hoping to work to pay the balance. So they just managed to get the first installment and then they get out of the country. I say, and I should have a headache over this? Jesus said, which of you wants to build a tower? Who will not first sit down and count the cost? You want to build a tower of paying foreign education? You didn't count your cost? And he says it's Naira 4. That's the problem. If Naira can fall and disrupt your ability to pay school fees abroad, you are not rich enough. You are not rich enough. That means you are just marginally managing before. Please, why did I get into that? Oh, I get distracted sometimes when I'm talking. Is that when people tell me that, hey, what is all of this? You don't understand. They kind of, I'm a university teacher, eh? So don't come and, some of you have, after your first degree, you've not gone back there. So don't talk when I'm talking.
In most departments, universities, adult education, you learn if you want to learn. You learn the same thing anywhere in the world. Lecture under a tree is not the same internet. I'm telling you, what we learn in a backyard university and what we learn... Please, let me just, I beg. This hurry. Where am I hurrying to? People say Harvard is good. I say, who told you? Ivy League. What is Ivy about the league? I will tell you what. It's because having created the name for themselves, they select the best of the best of the best of the students in the world. You want to know how good you are? Close your eyes. Randomly select students from Ojulegba, Asata, Abakiliki, London. Randomly. And put them in that university. Do the same random selection, put them in UNILAG. Do the same random selection, put them in Covenant. You do the same random selection, and then let us come and see what you will produce. Many of these so-called good schools are only so-called good because they take the best of the best. What am I telling you, parents? I want to make a decision. If your child wants to learn, he will learn. Don't kill yourself raising money. Again, I've not gotten to my gist. That's outside gist. Where I'm going is that when people want to make this, you see, you will know when the child will graduate. And I'm wondering, what's all of this noise? Who cares when you want to graduate when they don't pray in your class? Who cares when you want to graduate when you don't have class fellowship? Who cares when you want to graduate when part of the fundamental principles of that school is that there is no God? Who cares when you want to graduate? But you know what? My people don't value that, those things. I value the fact, no, I know I've said this thing many times, but I think enough Christian parents need to listen to me. I value the fact that my son will call those and say, please, I will come home later than planned. Why? We have class fellowship. I value it. It's a fellowship and it's holding inside class. And it is not against the law. I'm talking about valuing things. Many people don't value these things. See, if you like, spend 8 years in school to study a 4-year course. For me, it is better than spending 4 years for the same course. You come out and you are wondering, where is my faith? You don't know where you kept it. I've told you this again and again. That, what's the name of that big American preacher? Roy Roberts. He said the worst mistake of his life was that he sent his son to Stanford. In case you do not know, Stanford is one of America's top universities. The mint tech people. Google came out of Stanford. Many of these tech companies you know of today, I don't want to give facts because I may be wrong, but some of them in my head, they come out of Stanford. But Google, at least I can remember that one. Google, what you know today, was a PhD project of 2 Stanford students. Yet this man said the worst mistake of his life was that he sent his child to that place. People don't understand value. The other day I saw a skit, we were interviewing ladies. They said, will you marry a faithful man that drives, that's a poor man, but is faithful, or a rich man that cheats? All of them fools. All of them. Yeah, fools they are. All of them say, it's better to cry in a limousine than to cry inside a Corolla. What they don't understand is that God said, by this thing you have said in my hearing, crying, you shall cry. And God does not always fulfill both sides. One reason, the other side, he will say, you will see your friend the Corolla with the joy of the Lord. Yes, that's what God will say. Wait. Say, you want to cry? You will cry. Oh, you will cry. You will know why some of the most prosperous countries in this world is where people commit suicide the most. You will know what that God will say. Look, I told you the other day, they rated the United Kingdom as the second most miserable country in the world. It was not done by African Christians. It was done by international psychiatrists. You think this world is not an empty place? It is. The other day, one of the richest families in America. It's a crazy thing. The woman took a Tesla, entered it. They said the Tesla malfunctioned. And she reversed into the pool in her house. And drowned. Billionaire family. Entered the car. Wanted to drive. And they said the car, she made a mistake. So the car reversed. Boom, into the pool. And being the kind of, she couldn't open the door.
Make it long story short. She drowned in a house, in an expensive car, in her own swimming pool. So there are statements you don't make to God. Say, you know, I said something once. Yes, I was still repenting. But I think I can say it now because God has forgiven me. Not today. And it was a joke. But God told me clearly. Holy Spirit said, you crack that kind of joke, next time I will deal with you. We're very poorly paid. See, I don't know. By today's standard, we're earning less than a quarter of what doctors today are earning. Okay? So the money was bad. Let me tell you how bad my own was. By that time, Olekwe Ransom, Kuti, and Babangida had approved a tripling of our salaries. But the state where I was, okay, almost triple. Salary fully paid was about 900. Now, my guys in Benin were getting 2,200. Now, it's not the Naira of today. It's Naira of 1992. Okay? Yet, I was getting only 700. My colleagues were getting 2,200. I was supposed to get 900. Please follow my story. So one day, we're young guys. We just left school. I was a house officer. So we're together grumbling. So there was a patient that was there. They admired us. Young, handsome, fresh university graduates dressed like a doctor. We didn't look as frustrated as we felt. Are you getting my point? But well, they just talked. So one woman now said something. A patient too. Came with her baby, you know. I think I was in pediatrics, so we just, you know, she heard us talking. And I said, no, it doesn't matter now that small money is okay. You know, he said, with the grace of God, it's a lot of money. All of us now said, I leave that grace thing out. Add more money to this place. Do you know? This was 1992. I remember in the year 2024. Because God said, Banky, what did you just say? For the next 2 years, I was repenting. I'm not telling you, not a deal. I was saying, God, I'm sorry now. What did you say? I mistakenly, because Bible says, don't join the multitude to do evil. I joined my friends to say, I beg, leave that thing. The government should add more money. Years later, I will remember. I'll say, God, I beg, I'm sorry. I'm sorry now. I said, I'm sorry. That God said, you think it was a joke? I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I will never, since then, I've not made that kind of nonsense mistake. 1992, we're in 2024. I've not forgotten. There are things you don't do twice in your life. I said, leave the grace thing, I beg. I like the way you are reacting. It's frightening. A Christian should never mistakenly say such. Okay? I'm talking about me. Many of us, we don't say it, we do it. We don't say it, we do it. We don't value things. We'll throw away a position of influence where God is using us to affect lives because somebody added money. One of our brothers was talking with me. He's saying that he lives in Nigeria, he's going abroad again. I don't really have a problem. It's your problem, not mine. So I said, what about your children? And he said, that is a problem they are thinking about in my mind. You made up your mind. You have not solved that problem. Are you normal? I don't think you are normal. I asked a critical, you know, we behave like we are crazy. I'm sorry. I just asked a critical question. You have children. You are making plans for your own life. And then some of us, because we are Christians, I think we really, really have mental issues. I'm sorry to say it like this. We do. You say, I want to give my children a better life. You know the truth, you don't believe anything. Did I say you shouldn't give your children a better life? Of course, I'm not saying so. But what do you call a better life? What do you call a better life? What do you call a better life? If I'm not able to instruct my children in righteousness enough the way I should, and I find out that if I relocated from Enugu to Makurdi or to Kefi, that they have this beautiful system, a good school and all of that, and the churches there are fantastic, and I said, so, Bank, why are you moving to Kefi? I want to give my children a better life. That's godly. To me, that is godly. You are thinking like somebody who knows God. That let them be in an environment where they can learn, you understand, godliness. They can learn righteousness. You know, many of us, we don't do that often because we do the exchange rate and then we feel like
Nah. Let me tell you something first. About one key to being a Christian when it comes to money and prosperity is learn how to manage. When I say manage now, what I mean is that, see, learn how to cook for less. You're in band A. Go and take lessons on how to manage power. See, don't start praying for prosperity first. Start to learn to get full value for what you are paying. Let's start with that one. Please, I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Learn how not to burn all your money on fuel. Your wife doesn't have to go to church in a separate car. You can just tell her, madam, get ready earlier. You know I'm a church worker. Abi? Now, I'm not saying you must do all of this, but if you have to, my wife and I hardly go out, come out to Kingdom World in the same car. One, our car after service and my own, they hardly unite. Uh-huh. And of course, I get here earlier than she does. And this is very good. So she carries the other children, they lock the house, feed the dog, do whatever they have to do. Me, I'm gone. So I'm not trying to say this is how I do it. But you know what? Buying fuel is not a problem for me. Selling 1,000 naira a liter, I will not pray about it. I will give thanks for it and pay. The Lord is good. What I'm saying is that if you can't stop complaining, manage first. The trick in, look, that's the trick in, I will tell you now, I can't tell you the thing, how water, God gave us small technology to drastically reduce the amount of water we use for some things in the house. Some of our prosperity preaching we preach, it has stages. First stage in life is how to get full value for things, manage. The so-called rich people, they are not wasteful. Hey, I'll finish my message in a moment. Many things to say. Let me just tell you something. If you are a workman, Judah, where are you? Said the other day he called one man to come and do one work for him. When the man entered the place, plumbing work, when the guy saw the, let's use the word factory, he saw the equipment, he said, whoa! Is how much? The guy said, 3 million. He said, he hung the phone on the guy, you're not serious. If I did the work for 150,000, did you hear what I said? The work that he quoted for 3 million, it was done for 150,000 naira. Eh? Oh, 100K, not even 150. From 3 million to 100K. He said, what was his issue? He said, man, this will get money here. So a job of 100,000, he wanted to build 3 million for it. See, rich people are not fools. They did not become rich by being overbuilt.
Yes.
That's where I was going. You enter a man's car. One guy was supposed to come and do work for my wife the other day. He reached. He said, he's not supposed to. Because I told my wife, I said, look, my money is 10,000. He entered my compound. He got angry. Why did I tell this woman 10,000 naira? This woman has money. But he don't already commit himself. He entered. Say, madam, that 10,000 where I talk, just because I not think I will, madam, say, you don't talk out. Do this. He just felt that, this woman can be more than 10,000 naira. See, rich people do not become rich being overbuilt. They have, you know what I found out? They have much more sense than the so-called poor. And that's exactly how they pay. They know the value. One day I wanted to buy a cap for my children. I wound down. A guy selling cap. He gave me one price. I said, what is wrong with you? So after, this was long ago. I can't remember the price. But I said, come on, I'm not paying more than 500 naira. At the end of the day, he grudgingly collected the 500 naira and I bought like 3 or 4. I gave to my kids. He said, look, this thing that I'm doing, that he just, I want to sell to me, that I should watch him, that if I like, I should stay here. That I see these guys who dig, that he says to them 1,000 naira. You know what I said? Guys who earn 3,000 naira a day, that he'll sell that cap to them 1 for 1,000. I was driving an SUV. I paid 500 naira for the same thing. Why? That's why I drive an SUV. That's why I'm not a digger. What I'm trying to say, so don't go out thinking that, you know, rich people like to throw away their money. They don't. Where I'm going to, so when, first thing God teaches you too, as you are grown in life, is how to manage. It's one key factor of being prosperous. You'll be surprised. Dangote will tell you the value he gets for every $100 he spent. He said, if he doesn't know, I hire 10 accountants to know it for me.
If they don't know, each one of them will have 5 accounting assistants to know it for them. But each dollar must be accounted for. That's why I was able to build the largest single train refinery in the world, doing 600,000 barrels a day at maximum capacity. If I was there wasting money, I wouldn't be here. Where am I going? Before I start, look, you can manage your life into prosperity. So that you will live as comfortably as somebody who has 5 times the amount, 10 times the amount of money you have. Yes. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to say in all of these things. Because sometimes people just throw away things that are valuable. That's where I'm going. Because they are not ready to manage. I see it every time and it pains me. What are the things that have value in life? Learn. I don't have enough time. I want to close. Okay? But you need to learn that God will open your eyes. Because you know what? I should make this point. Anything you don't value, you eventually lose it. See, leave Jacob out. Esau will have sold that thing to a baboon. And if he didn't sell it to a baboon, he would have done nothing about it. Esau could never. He didn't have the value system that made that, birthright worth anything to him. He would have sold it to anybody. Jacob was just the first guy to ask. Anything you don't value, you eventually lose. That woman, I was telling her story. She lost that her husband because she didn't value him. She's an American woman. Black American woman. Generally, everybody has some cultural problem. Their cultural problem is that they usually are very rude. Especially their husband. She used to talk to them. He said, but I never meant it. But you said it. Listen to me. Anything you don't value, you eventually lose. If you don't, Christians, if you don't value the freedom God gave you in this country, you eventually lose it. Anything you don't value, you eventually lose. If you don't value your husband, let me not say more than that. If you don't value your wife, I shall not say more than that. Even your children, if you don't value them, they're not going to die. They won't die on you. No, they are not going to die. But you also lose them too. Anything you don't value, eventually you lose. And if you value something, let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Let me just tell your wife how important she is. There's nothing like she should know. I hope you're getting my point. I know it's embarrassing. One day I was telling my wife what one of my friends did for me when we were in school. Then she asked me a question. She said, did you ever tell him? It dawned on me, I never did. I said, why don't you tell him? So I sent him a message. She said, Banky, which one is this one now? How am I supposed to tell a guy how important he is? He said, no, you should tell him. So I did. One day, a friend of mine from the U.S., he sent me a message about last year. It was so touching. He's still here. He said he and his wife just sat down and decided what kind of special friends my wife and I have been. So he decided to tell me. Even me, I was embarrassed. You know, men are not used to such thing. But you know, a good thing is a good thing. If you can't even say it by mouth, you can use style to say it. You can just be say, we're just driving by your house. Or just say, our guy's day here now. Say, let's just buy you pizza. And you drop it. You have said it. You know, so just use style. Use style. Just use style. It's the person's birthday. You can't say it by yourself. Make the right hand for cake. To a special friend, and then they deliver it. Is that not good? Yeah. Some of you have never told your friend, I'm like that too. I'm not abusing you. It's only doing okay, I'm abusing, okay? You have never told your friends. Some of you have never even told your wives. Why are you looking guilty? The way you turn your eye like this, it's not too late. Maybe you are going to go home after service. Where is she there? Is she on the other side? Anyway, whatever. Then you go home. Say, pastor, use me preach today. Oh, he said, hey, what happened? Pastor, just carry me poop for poop. Just they tear me like this. What did you do? I can't even tell you. He said, okay, actually, before I tell you what he said, let me just tell you, sweetheart. You know, you've been a very good wife. Let's be honest. Just tell her 10 things that she has done right. And don't use the opportunity to say, the only one I don't like is, no. Don't. Say that one another day. You say that one the day after Christmas, but for now. Yeah, it's important. And of course, the other way too. All right? Tell anything you don't want to lose, you have to appreciate. All right?
You don't want to lose your dog. Take good care of the dog. I'm telling you. This dog just making noise anyhow. If he dies tomorrow, will you be happy? No. So go and buy the dog some food. Give the dog a bath. Anything you don't appreciate, what happens? You eventually lose. Anything you don't appreciate, you eventually lose. All right? So let me just stop it here. To be honest with you, I didn't say everything I wanted to say, but I think I've said the ones that the Holy Spirit wants me to say. All right? But let me end with this. Go and pray that God will show you what is really valuable around. One day my wife told me something. Let me not expose all her exposing on this thing. You know, she was complaining about some things. I said, you know what? You don't. She says a lot in life. Actually, what happened was that, you know, a lot of our friends left town, people that were together. They were just leaving one after the other. The next thing we knew, we were just virtually alone. So my wife wanted to be forcing me to visit people that are not expecting me. We talked, I said, I'm not good. She wanted to just socialize. I said, I'm not socializing. Leave me. We just don't have friends. And the ones we had before, was it by force I made them? Then I just said something to her by the inspiration of God. I said, just that God has blessed you, you don't realize who your new friends are. The thing hit her like a rocket. And that's when she realized that. She came up to me later and said, my husband, do you know that thing you said? I realized how it was God. I won't say more than that. After that, at least me, I had peace. It's good to prophesy. Once I prophesied, peace came into my life. But she acted on those words. She realized that no, God had blessed her. She just didn't realize it. Then she turned around and started identifying those who were really her friends. So I actually have these people. I just didn't notice. Some of you are trying to make... No, that's not what she was trying to do, okay? But some of you are trying to make friends with people that don't even like you. Just because you want to go and form a social club. One day, one lady called my wife. She was getting angry. What's all the... calm down, what is it? Did you see the way this woman embarrassed me today? I tried to... So my wife said, you said calm down. She doesn't want to be your friend. Not by force. No, my friend told her, look, my wife told her, calm down. What's all this noise? You want to enter their social circle, then make you the vex. You want to join amongst those who, when they gather together, all of them, very vain. Let me not start. You know some people that are just vain. Once they appear, vanity upon vanity. All of them are vanity. All of them, one after the other. That's the club you want to join. So when they say, women in red, all of you now come with your overpriced material that real price not up to 1/10, but you have to look fake too. You don't know. Hey, look. Men don't do that often. Women do it more. If you're a child of God, stop that nonsense. All the social clubs, they are joining. Every wedding, they must bring a shebi for you. If you have shebi, it's not by force. If you don't have money, ask them what's the color code. You know what they call color code? Just go and bring the one you have that is the same color. And some women, I like them, all right? If they don't even have, they can go to their friend. Now, beg, color code for so and so event. Now, pitch. You know, I don't have any pitch. That's your other pitch. Can I wear it? And if take now. But driving before you bring it back. That'll not be wala. You wear it and go. There's no shame in it. And I say, I can't wear somebody else's pitch. When you don't have pitch. And there's not, they don't even dash you. You finish, you say, well, my sister, thank you very much. It was a nice event. We'll return the cloth. Nobody, I finished my message. You can go if you want to go. But nobody should. I forbid you in Jesus' name. Nobody should put you under pressure. Do you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
In Jesus' name, you must never be under pressure.
Amen.
You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
I command you in Jesus' name never to pay for an overpriced ashebi. What is overpriced? You can't afford it. It's not about the real value. It's what you can afford. There are ashebis that go for 500K. If you can afford it, bros, pay. This is your money, other people must chop it too. But if you can't afford it, it's not a prayer point. Father, raise me. Father, raise me. Father say, so you can do what? Buy a Chevy, you're not serious. Well, Father, you're here. Let's say, Father, we thank you. Let's say, Lord, we thank you. Let's say, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your wisdom that you are giving us. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your wisdom.
Thank you for your wisdom. We just want to walk in a manner worthy of you, to please you in all respect, to bear fruit in every good work. The Lord bless you.
Amen.
The Lord keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make his face shine upon you.
Amen.
The Lord will be gracious unto you.
Amen.
He will lift up his countenance upon you, and he will give you peace.
Amen.
It will be well with you as you go out and as you come in. I command prosperity to come to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Every lack, every need in your life will be met in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I command healing to come to you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord bless you from inside out.
Amen.
Every part of you is blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I rebuke cancer.
Amen.
I rebuke high blood pressure.
Amen.
I rebuke problems in the eyes.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Again, remember, old age is not a disease.
Amen.
It is only allowed to make you wise. Therefore, anything ascribed to old age that's in form of ailment, people have ascribed it to old age, but in your case, it will not survive there in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As you grow older, you will get stronger.
Amen.
Now, no matter what be your age now, next year you'll be stronger than this year.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in you.
Amen.
And listen, is giving life to your mortal body.
Amen.
Somebody's going to testify
Amen.
That this year, I see sharper than I did last year.
Amen.
I can read final print this year than I read last year.
Amen.
I can walk longer distances than I walked last year.
Amen.
I can endure more exercise than I endured last year.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Heart failure will never be your portion.
Amen.
Heart failure will never be your portion.
Amen.
Listen, somebody listen to me from somewhere. I'm saying to you, that heart will not fail on you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That heart will not fail on you.
Amen.
We speak life to it.
Amen.
We speak life to it.
Amen.
Heart, receive life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Heart, receive life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I say, heart, receive life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, our God is a miracle-working God. Everybody say,
my God
is a miracle-working God.
Miracle-working.
See, when you elevate his name, his power comes into your life.
Yeah.
If he says he's a healing God, you will see healing.
Yeah.
If he says he's a providing God, you will see provision.
Yes.
If he says he's a leading God, he will lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Say, I say to you, you are blessed.
Yeah.
I say to you, you are blessed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's share the grace in fellowship.
The
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Quickly bless two people beside you.